So guys, I have three kids, and I've heard, you know, I heard a lot of sermons about you're God's favorite, and you're the bride of Christ, and you're his beloved, right? Heard that a lot. And I was always like, how can everybody be God's favorite? Well, I have now a good working knowledge of that. I have three kids, and literally every time I see them, I think, oh, you're my favorite. If Gus is the one that I'm talking to, I'm like, oh, you're my favorite, August. I just love you. If it's Adeline that I'm talking to, oh, Addie, you're my favorite. And it's the same with Josie. And what's great is I mean it with all of my heart for every single one of them. And it's so funny, my kids are so used to me saying that, that I said it to Gus this morning as we're headed to church. My wife decided to leave me last night about 1:30. Just, I mean, you know, her sister's pregnant, had the kid this morning, which is fun. But I was getting the kids ready all by myself, and I was preaching. And I said, you owe me, baby. Because that's how our marriage works. We keep, no, I'm just kidding. So anyway, So I look at Gus as we're getting in the car, and he obeyed so well. He got in, got buckled, like I'd asked him to, and I said, oh, Gus, I love it when you obey me. You're my favorite. And he looks at me, and he says, Daddy, I love you, and you're my favorite. And then Addie is sitting right there, and you know what? She doesn't get jealous or insecure, and she's not thinking, oh, I wish my daddy would tell me that I'm his favorite and not Gus. And I think it's important for us as we talk about the temptation of Jesus to understand who we are to him. So in the business that I'm in, we talk about leading indicators and lagging indicators. And there are leading indicators of what we can look at to predict, if you will, what the market's going to do. And then you have lagging indicators, oh, the market did this, and we should have seen that, right? Everybody does that. And I think in order to be successful when we're being tempted, we actually have to get the leading indicators right. Jesus winning in the desert was not about the desert. It was about all the preparation prior to. Okay? And so I actually want to start in Romans 8 because I think it's important for us to have a good working understanding of who we are in Christ. Romans 8:12, is it up there yet? Sorry, I like to read out of the Bible. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. That's good news. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. That's bad news. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God, are sons of God. And let me say that again, because I know that we're not all dudes. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are daughters of God. Because I know those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you do not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share with the sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Guys, that is good stuff. I'm like, I don't really need to preach. I could leave now and y'all go to lunch, right? But because they gave me 30 minutes, I'm going to talk all 30. So, but what I want us to walk away with when I see this is there's really good news. We're no longer slaves to sin and fear. Reminds me of a song. I'm terrible at singing, so I'm not going to do it. We are no longer a slave to garbage. It kills us. And guys, in the Garden of Eden, with Adam and Eve, it didn't kill them really, right? They just felt like garbage because it's not what they were made for, okay? And I love it because he says, you're my kid, co-heirs. You are co-heirs. Everything that Jesus is receiving, you receive. If, right at the end, this is the bad news again, but it's actually good news. If you suffer with him. Okay, so I want to, now that we have a good working understanding of who we are, and again, that's a leading indicator in my opinion. If you don't have that piece squared, that you are God's kid, then I feel really confident when temptation comes your way, it ain't gonna bode well for you. But then this brings us to, we have to understand who the Father is. Because we all have different experiences with our families. We do. We all have, it could be really good, it could be really bad, it could be somewhere in the middle. The truth is, I know your family was dysfunctional at some level because mine was. And I know that no one is perfect. I also know that moms and dads really do the best that they can, but that doesn't change the fact that it could have been a really hard upbringing. It doesn't change the fact that it's actually a really good upbringing. What I know is I don't know what your family is like, but I do know what the Heavenly Father is like. And a lot of times we shape our view of who God is according to what we have known, as opposed to letting who he is change us. And so I want to just recap what kind of dad the Father is. Because it's when Jesus is led into the wilderness by the Spirit, we just read, right? Those who are led by the Spirit, they overcome, right? So Jesus was actually led into this temptation, but right before that, we hear the Father speak. This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. And if that doesn't resonate with you, then again, I'm confident when the temptations or the trials really come, you're not going to make it. And this isn't to discourage you. It's only to say, get revelation of who God is. If I could have you guys leave today with anything, I would say it is worth getting the revelation of who God is. If you could literally leave and say, I don't know what that guy talked about, but I know he said it's best to get a revelation of the Father. That will change you. Now, the second thing I hope you walk away with is that you're a son and a daughter of the living God. If you get those two things, I feel happy, and then you'll overcome temptation. It's great. Now, if they would have given me five sermons, they only give me one. I mean, I understand. I would only give myself one, too. But they only gave me five, I would unpack everything, but I'm not going to do that. Okay, we're going to stay broad. I'll dive in briefly. But back to where I was here. We've got to understand who the Father is, okay? So we have this. I'm going to start in Luke. I'm walking through Luke. And Luke, we have the birth of Jesus foretold is in chapter 1. God cared so much about his son that he actually picked the mom. He had an angel show up to her, and he said, you are going to carry my kid. And you know what's so neat about that? Is she was a humble servant. And he picked, but what I love is he picked Jesus' mom. And it's important that you know that God picked who your parents are. Okay, so he picks his mom after she's betrothed. So we already know who the dad's going to be, who the husband's going to be. And he cared so much about his kid. He not only came to Mary, he said, here's the scoop. He came to Joseph in a dream and said, here is the scoop. This is my kid. He's mine. And I am going to tell you what his name is. It's Jesus. And he is mine. You name him this. Now, the tradition in the Jewish culture was that you named him, your firstborn was always named after the dad. All right? And so this is a big deal. So we now have the Father caring deeply about his son. Okay? So not only that, he sends a prophet to prepare the way for him. Then the day that Jesus is born, I think this is a really cool revelation. The night Jesus is born, number one, he's born in a stable. Because when you know your identity, it does not matter where you come from. Okay, when you know who you are, it doesn't matter if you have a little or if you have a lot. You know who you are. Sorry, I hate doing that on these microphones. You know who you are. And what happened is this. Jesus is born in a stable, and the angel of the Lord shows up to humble servants, shepherds, in the middle of nowhere, and he goes, "Hey guys, my son has been born." He clues them in, and you know what happens? Then the heavens split open, and thousands, it says multitudes of angels, are singing a song of celebration. The Son of God is born. Glory to God in the highest. And man, that is because the Father was excited. And so he had a whole party in heaven, and he let some humble people in on it. Now that's fun. That is exciting, because I've got news for you. He's done the same thing for you. And I mean that. It is real. When you were born, it says in the book, he made mention of you in your mother's womb. He called you by name the day that you were born, says it in the book. And I actually think the angels were celebrating the day when you were born. And you know what? I can say that because I know it's true about me, and I'm nobody special, but I am his favorite. Okay? So, we have to have this groundwork. So he's born. They take him to the temple like it was the Jewish custom to do. And now, he has not one but two prophets come up to him and declare, this is the Messiah. The Father's longing to speak identity over you. He wants to so bad. We see it with his own son. He's literally like 8 days old, and he's getting prophesied over. God has a word for you today, I promise, of identity of who you are. And it will start changing you. It will start making you different. And I want to just have a quick note here. I'm not talking about parenting, but parents, you can start prophesying over your kids from day one. And it will change them. They will never doubt who they are. They never will doubt who they are. But the Father's doing it for you. Whether you had it or not, the Father has been doing it from day one. Okay? He really has. And so he gets prophesied over. I know, we're getting to the temptation. I know y'all really want to hear about it. And then he gets prophesied over. And what I love is this verse. And the child grew, Jesus is the child, and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The perfect little boy was growing strong, and he still needed the grace of God. Man, we're weak, broken people. We need the grace of God. And so did Jesus to overcome. So then we keep going. At 12 years old, as again to Jewish custom, they go to Jerusalem for the Passover. And we get a glimpse that at 12, Jesus is really getting, I'm loved by my dad. Because his whole family leaves, and where does he stay? We know the story. He's in the temple. Mary's freaking out, and I know what that freak out looks like now that I have kids and a wife. I mean, she's losing it. And so she comes back and she says, where have you been? And it's not because she's really that mad at him. It's just because she's been freaking out big time. She's projecting her baggage on him. You know how that goes? So anyway, gets there and he goes, didn't you know that I'd be in my dad's house? He's starting to really lock into his identity. The father's identity, it